Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Christmas is an amazing reminder that life is filled with such rich meaning. It's a message that reaches beyond dogma, beyond belief, and it touches our spirit. And at its heart, it's freely given in perfect love and in grace. It's unearned, it's unconditional, which really makes it a gift in its truest sense of the word. You know, the traditions of the season that we celebrate this year, regardless of the restrictions of this crazy time, are still infused with the warmth and the joy of the connections that we make together. Even if those are virtual and maybe from a distance, it's still real and it's still so very meaningful. And beyond all of those different traditions and connections that we make, you can still feel the timeless strength and substance of love. It's a powerful thing. It connects us all, now more than ever before, I believe. And more brilliant than the sparkle of the moment, unshaken by the frenzy and the crisis that we've navigated this past year, love always shines through. It always breaks through in every situation. You know, today we lit the candle of love, a love freely given, bringing hope where it seemed impossible for hope. And because of that hope, things changed forever. Our lives have changed. Once again, big thanks to all our Calvary families who have helped to be a part of our Advent this month. Each week lighting another candle, each week reading the powerful words of Scripture to bring the joy and light of Christ during our month of merry and bright services that we've had. Now, did I mention how excited I was about what's coming up on Thursday night? Christmas Eve is coming, and so is our merry and bright candlelight Christmas Eve service. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be a grand celebration, the likes of which you've never seen before. We got two services, one at 4:30, one at 6 o'clock, so decide which one that you're going to come and be a part of. There's going to be holiday Christmas carols, an inspirational message of hope in Christ. We're going to see special musical guest Rhythm and News joining us. We'll have the Christmas story for the kids. We'll have our annual lighting of the candle, and of course, it would not be Christmas Eve without a little bit of snow. And so you're going to see all of that on Christmas Eve. So get your candles ready. If you don't have candles and you need them, stop by the church this week and pick one up at the office for you and your family. We'd be glad to help you out in that regard. And invite somebody. Invite your friends. Invite your friend, your family, your neighbors, all of those people that you wished you had the opportunity to bring to church. Now it's never been easier to have them be a part of what's going to happen on Christmas Eve. Now everybody can watch from the comfort of their own home and enjoy and be a part of things so that you can help us spread the good news. As you see our social media, click on it, like it, share it, do everything that you can with it to spread that good news far and wide. Let's get the word out. Let's see as many people being a part of our service. Come and say hello. Put your name in the chat, especially when you're there. Even today, let us know where you're tuning in from. We'd love to say hello to you, make you feel at home today. Today is episode 4 of our Merry and Bright Advent series as we lead up to Christmas Eve and lighting the Christ candle. And so again, if you're joining us online, wherever you are joining us from today, please say hello. If you're from our church family, welcome back to church this week. We're so glad to see you, to be joining you in your home. And you know what? I'm really glad that I've talked to so many of you over these months, and you've shared with me how important your church family is, how you've taken that time each week with your family to come together on Sunday to worship the Lord, to hear from God's word, and to meet together as a church, to come a little early, to drop into the chat, to say hello to friends and people that you haven't seen in a long time. Our church family is so crucial to our spiritual development. We're so much better together, and God has designed and wired it to be so. You know, since the beginning of the month, we've taken a closer look at some powerful themes, the themes of peace, hope, and joy. And today we're going to talk about the power that's in love, and a message that I'm calling a love freely given. You know, the gift that Mary received on that first Christmas was so much more than a baby. It was an experience. Mary experienced God's love, freely given, freely received, in such a personal way that it would change her world and the world around her. And it came to a young lady with an incredibly obedient heart. It's the reason that God chose her. It's the reason that God has chosen you for that same reason. He wants you to be obedient to what he's called you to do. And through his unstoppable love, he chose Mary to bring Jesus into the world. And now, that same directive is upon you, to bring Jesus into your world. You know, love may have looked like a baby, but it was so much more. Love is an extremely powerful force. It's unstoppable. It reaches for hurt and takes bold steps without self-interest. And it can accomplish unbelievable things because it's void of self-interest. You know, the Armenian earthquake of 1989 needed only 4 minutes to flatten a nation. And many lives were lost because of it. But moments after this deadly tremor, a father got in his car and raced to the elementary school where his son attended class. And he knew the news. He knew that it had hit this building. And when he arrived, he saw that the school building itself was completely leveled. It was nothing but rubble. And quickly he remembered speaking to his son and giving him a promise every time he went to bed, saying, you know what, no matter what happens, I'll always be there for you. And so driven by those words, that promise that was in his mind, he ran to the area where he knew his son's classroom would likely be, and he started pulling back rocks in just a frenzy. And so parents were close by. They were sobbing and crying, and they were trying to say to him, it's too late. It's just too late. There's no way anybody survived. He didn't listen. He kept going. He kept pulling rocks away. Finally, a police officer came and said, I'm sorry, sir. You're going to need to step back. There's no way that anybody survived this collapse. He didn't listen. He continued. And finally, they stepped back and they just let him dig. And so 6 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours, 32 hours. Now his hands are raw. They're bleeding. He is beat, tired. He can hardly go any further. And after 38 hours, he pulls back a boulder and he hears a little voice. He calls out his son's name and he hears these words, Dad, it's me. He can hear his son's voice. He's filled with incredible joy as he realized what's happened. And suddenly everybody was clamoring to continue to pull back the stones. He talked to his son through the rubble. And his son said, Dad, I knew you would come. I knew you would come. I told my friends that if you were still alive, that you would come for me and that you would help them too. Because I never, ever forgot that you told me that no matter what, I will always be there for you. You know, the love of a father for his child is unstoppable. And God's unstoppable love for us is revealed in his plan and in his purpose for our lives. He's always been there for us. And when the wall of sin stopped mankind from living in God's purpose, out of the great love of the Father, he sent what was most precious to him. He sent his son, Jesus, to clear away the rubble and to make a way. You see, the great sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary's cross made a way where there wasn't a way. And that love that was freely given by the Father could now flow and connect. His unstoppable love made a way for his purpose in our lives. You know, over the years, there has been written probably more literature and songs and movies and Broadway productions about the topic of love. There's not a more popular subject. And we're reminded through all of these things the power that comes with it. And at Christmas, there's no better time when we're reminded to celebrate the power that love possesses. God's love is seen weaving its way throughout all of the pages of Scripture as we read it. Love is more than a characteristic of his nature. It is his nature, expressed in Jesus coming to redeem his people. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." It's love. So if God's purpose is unstoppable, how is it possible that many people are still missing it? They're still missing experiencing it for themselves. How can you stop the unstoppable? I think it's important that we first understand that the Father spared absolutely nothing. He gave his very best. He gave his own son to ensure that we were offered a solution for the problem of sin. His love, freely given, would pave the way for you and I to experience eternal life. It's like being diagnosed with a deadly virus in its advanced stages, seemingly unstoppable, and then suddenly being offered a cure, and yet for whatever reason, denying that cure and refusing to receive it. You see, even though you've been given a way out, you've been assured of its results, that you would come through it, if you refuse that treatment with this unstoppable cure, in a way, you're stopping the unstoppable. But you're only stopping it for you. You see, by refusing it yourself, you don't actually short-circuit its power or its ability to cure others, especially if they decide to receive it and to benefit from it. We've all been given a free will. And with that free will, we can refuse to receive that cure for sin and choose death, or we can allow that unstoppable love to be at work within our lives and to see that change come. Ephesians 1, verse 4 says, "Long before he laid down the earth's foundation, he had us in mind and settled on us as the focus of his love to be made whole and holy with what? With his love." See, I don't want you to miss that, because you and I were the focus of his love. So his purpose, simplified, is God made you to love you. You see, when he abides within us through his love, the purpose of God is released within us. Often we try to make a way for ourselves, and we attempt to push our way into life's opportunities, whether it's a new relationship, a marriage, a job, a career. We try to push and make these things happen. But outside of his love at work in our lives, many things that we purpose on our own to do still seem to end up in chaos and even disaster. You know what? Show me a church where there's this kind of unstoppable love present in its community, his love, and I'll show you a church that has become so essential to that community, to that city. And I believe that's the church that we are blessed to be a part of here at Calvary. God has called you and I to help the world experience that unstoppable love in their lives. And you know what? If we continue to let love replace religious duty in our churches around the world, we will quickly evangelize this planet when we can get our personal agendas out of the way and lift up his name. You see, love is central to the mission of Calvary Church. Loving God, loving people, loving life. It's all about God's love at work within us. 1 John 4:8 says, "But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." It's impossible. It's impossible to know God and not live in that love. You know, there's so many teachings and topics within the church today. We see everything from healing and faith and deliverance all the way through to evangelism, to discipleship, to leadership. And as good as these teachings are, as much as they're needed in our lives and in our churches, we need to balance them and marinate them in the love of God. The King James Version of Scripture translates love as as charity. But the actual Greek word used here is agape, which means the loved of God, the focus of his passion. Nothing we do will ever profit us unless it's done from a motive of freely given, unstoppable love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2 says, "If I understand all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't have love, then really I would have nothing at all." See, we can have all those things and think we have this knowledge, but if we lack the love, then we lack the life that he's given his son to die for. You know, love looks different for many people. And the same was true during that first Christmas. Even though scripture tells us in John 1:11 that his own did not receive him. See, the father didn't misread the political and social conditions and mess up on the timing. No. You see, in that day, love came to the right people at the right time. God foretold this event and he prepared those people for himself. The truth is, salvation has been secured for the entire human race. And humanity has been redeemed or bought back. But still, unbelievably so, there are people who reject him because they have that free will to choose life or death. The last thing we need to do is in this season, force the true meaning of Christmas on people. It's not going to get anywhere. Jesus is the reason for this season. Listen, we can push all we want, but if we do it without love, we miss the point entirely. People don't need to be beat over the head with the message. We need to freely give his love, the way that love was freely given to each of us. So what did true love look like back then and today? Well, for some, love looked like the King of the Jews. And for many people, even today, they still see everything through political eyes. And the advent of Christ was no exception. You see, the Jewish people were straining under the oppressive hand of Rome, and so they were anxiously awaiting a savior. Some thought that that would be a great military leader who would lead them to victory. And as much as he is the King of the Jews, even more and more importantly, he's the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. The second one, see, for other people, love looked like a troublemaker. And for those people who wanted to be the Lord of their own lives, Jesus stirred it up because he insists on lordship within your heart. And in his day, and even in the day we're living in now, he will make you mad or he will make you glad. He'll stir it up. He insists that he is the only way to the Father. Even though we may try to be Lord of our lives, the only one that truly knows how to do that is the one who created us. Number three, for some people, love looked like a great teacher. I don't know how many times in my life I've had people say to me, "Yeah, I think Jesus was an incredible teacher. He was a great leader. But the Son of God, I'm not so sure." How many times have people reduced our Savior to just simply a teacher? Sadly, many still they accept and admire him for his leadership, even for some of the things that he's said. They'll quote it on Instagram. But he's not necessarily the Lord of their lives. So what does love look like for you? Because here's the final one. And this is where I pray we will all meet even around Christmas. Because for others, love looked like the Messiah. What does he look like to you? I pray that you'll be so transformed in your lives that he'll look like that for you. The Messiah, your Redeemer, your Savior. His love is very different than man's love, which quite often is not freely given at all. It's filled with conditions, filled with strings. Yet the Bible says that the signature of Christ's followers, what you and I will be known for in this world that we're living, is not human love at all. It's the love of God, the unconditional love that flows from the cross. John 13:35 says, "Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." So, ask yourself this. When the world around you looks at you, will they recognize you as a true Christ follower? Or will they recognize you as somebody who follows your own lead? What will they see? You see, I believe God's love freely given is defined best in this scripture. 1 Corinthians 13, 7 and 8 says, love never gives up. It's like that father pulling back those stones to try to get to his son. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever. How do you make that kind of love personal? How do you make his love personal in your life? Well, never forget this, that a love freely given must also be freely received. And that's my prayer for you today, that if you've never received that love freely given by God, that today is that day for you. So today, as we celebrate together the love that was freely given to us, would you pray? Would you pray with me now for those that need to experience it? And I pray that those of you that are walking your purpose out, that God would strengthen your stand, that he would strengthen you by the love that he has shown through his son Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, I pray today for every person who is feeling their heart beating quicker than ever before, that would say, I need to know Jesus in my life as my Lord and Savior. If that's you today, pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I want to experience your love in my life, that as you freely give it to me, that I would freely receive it and then freely give it to others. In Jesus' name. And Father, for everyone else who has struggled in many areas of their lives to come to grips with what love is all about, that we would cease from our own efforts of trying to make it happen, and that we would surrender our lives to you and allow your love to flow in and through our lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. God's best to you, Calvary. I look forward to seeing you in a few days on Christmas Eve. Make sure you get out there and invite as many people as you can. Get your candles ready. We are going to have a grand celebration that is going to just be amazing. So I look forward to seeing you in a few days. God bless you. I love you all.